This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ryan Ellis, Director of Tax Policy at Americans for Tax Reform here in Washington, and he's also their point man on all the different details about this complicated health care debate. And Ryan, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
Well, obviously we're a day or two away from potentially the House vote on the Senate version of health care reform legislation, and Americans for Tax Reform has been highlighting different aspects of this legislation, why you think it's a bad deal for the American people. One thing that you've recently released, and today, in fact, is a study conducted by the Beacon Hill Institute on just how this will affect the job climate in this country over nearly the next decade. Before we get into some of the specifics, in general, what did you find?
Well, what we sought to do in connection with Beacon Hill Institute is we wanted to put out a realistic assumption of if this bill were to pass, let's pretend that all the budget gimmicks that are in this bill are in fact gimmicks. That, for instance, doctor payments won't be cut 18% a year, as is assumed, in order to get this pill under a certain number. And it makes all these other assumptions as to what Congress is likely to do going forward with legislation, what they're not going to let expire, what a realistic policy scenario is. That would involve highly increased government spending over the next 10 years. And whenever government spending goes up by a substantial degree, you have a crowding out effect. And government spending eats up a bigger part of the economy, which means there's less parts of the economy left for the job-creating sector of everything. And so when the government grows, jobs shrink. And what we found in this study, in coordination with the Beacon Hill Institute, is that somewhere between 119,000 and 700,000 jobs will be lost between now and 2019 if this Senate Democrat health care bill becomes law, and if there's a reasonable expectation as to what Congress is going to do from that point forward.
Quick clarification here. In the same press release as this study, you point out that some of the left-leaning organizations have said this would create up to 400,000 jobs. Is that because they're not assuming that these are gimmicks in terms of the funding?
Well, if you look at the larger version of the study, we have a link to the larger 17-page study. It goes into a very detailed methodological explanation as to why those left-leaning studies are wrong. Those left-leaning studies are wrong for one basic reason, if we were to sum it up. The one basic reason is that they accept all of the budgetary gimmicks at face value. They accept that Medicare each and every year will cut physician benefits or physician reimbursement rates by about 20%, even though Congress has never allowed that to happen each and every year it's been voted on. So they make all of these assumptions that are not real-world assumptions as a way of cooking the books, and that's why they came up with the numbers they did. When you do it in a realistic way and you say, here's what Congress is actually likely to do after this bill passes, based on any reasonable expectation of how Washington works and the way things are going to go, then you come up with the much more realistic job loss numbers that we did.
We're talking with Ryan Ellis of Americans for Tax Reform. And Ryan, obviously it's a pretty big window there between 119,000 and 700,000 jobs lost. Obviously it's substantial if either one is correct, but which one do you think is closer to the truth?
Well, that's more of a question for the Beacon Hill Institute. Those guys stayed in school long enough to get their PhDs and know a heck of a lot more about this stuff than I do. But I think it's safe to say that every projection involves uncertainty. And there's no such thing as a magic number that you know for certain is going to be the number. The best you can do is give a range. That's all you can do when you're projecting based on public policy. And the best, most appropriate range that we were to come up with was between 119,000 and about 700,000. So if somebody wanted to take the midpoint of that range, they could. We've been saying up to 700,000 jobs could be lost.
Ryan, as this is broken down from your work along with the Institute, it looks like certain sectors are really going to get hammered here, manufacturing, retail trade, as well as professional and business services. Any particular reason why the provisions in this bill would affect them especially hard?
For instance, professional and business services, it looks like it's going to lose a low of 220,000 and a high of 1.3 million jobs would be lost, for instance, in the professional and business services sector. That includes doctors, for instance. There are a lot of doctors that, if they take a look at the type of regime they're going to be forced into, they say, look, I'll retire at 55 instead of 62 like I was planning on doing. That then affects all of the practices that they are supporting. That affects the nurses. That affects the people at the front desk. That affects all the accounting and billing people. You're going to see if our experience with socialized medicine is similar to what's happened in other countries, you're going to see an exodus from the healthcare providing sector, and that's where that would show up there. But it's something that has a ripple effect. If a doctor retires, it might affect four or five other people as well.
So the explanation, if we go way back to the beginning of the president pushing this piece of legislation over a year ago now, where he said this is a key to revitalizing our economy and putting people back to work, doesn't sound like the statistics bear that out.
No, it doesn't at all. If you, as a general principle, this is something that you can get lost in the numbers and have a few extra zeros like I just did in the last example there. But the general principle is that if you expand the size of government, government only spends what it first has taken out of the real economy. The real economy is a fixed pie every year. So if the government gets bigger, it must mean that the private sector gets smaller. And our only ultimate source of job creation is private sector job growth. If you make the private sector smaller because you've made the government bigger, inevitably what is going to happen is fewer jobs are going to be created.
Ryan, we'll see how this argument factors into the fate of this bill. Thanks so much for being with us.
Sure thing.
Ryan Ellis is a director of tax policy at Americans for Tax Reform here in Washington, also the organization's point man on the entire healthcare debate. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.